everyday living, while we may not necessarily be called to give our physical lives, though some are, there's this idea that every day you and I can be living sacrifices. Well, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, we're going to talk about that today and next week, but it really boils down to what we read about Jesus and what Jesus' purpose was when he came to the earth. In your bulletin, I have Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 and 28. It says, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served," Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. When I think about Mother's Day, there is nobody who works longer hours than mom, right? If you're a mom, you know what I'm talking about. I look at my mom growing up, and I look at my wife, and I don't know how moms do it today, truthfully, because many of you guys are working a career. Plus, you take on the responsibilities of many of the household things. And I'm very thankful for my wife as a mom, because I know that even though she's busy working and doing a lot of things, there are ways that she meets needs of our family that I can't meet. I can't handle the kids the way she does. She is a gift for that. And so moms really understand what this means about a sacrifice of serving others. Moms all over the world say no to some of their own things and getting of their selves and receiving of themselves to give to others. And we get that example here through Jesus and what he came to do. Not to be served, but to serve. And it's not just a call for moms, though. It's not just a call that moms are to go out and serve and be sacrificial. Today, if you sit here and you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you consider yourself a Christian, we all have that same call to be living sacrifices. To sacrifice some of ourselves, to say no to ourselves, to do without in some instances, to give and pay attention to others. Well, why would Jesus want us to do that? Why would we serve others? What would this accomplish? Matter of fact, and it goes counter to our culture, which is the consumer culture, right? Which says everybody should do things to serve me. Ah, I want it. You serve me. You do things that benefit me. And we're taught to be consumers in this world. But the Bible's turning around and says, no. Stop being consumers and start being givers. Start being servers. Well, why would we serve others? Man, that's awesome. Did you hear those noises over there, little kid noises? Those are cool. I don't mind those in church. Your cell phone goes off, we're going to talk. But little kid, that's all right. No, just kidding. But why would we serve others? Well, I want to look at four ways today that we're going to talk about why we serve and the motivation for the serve. And really, it's the basis for the ministry of Eligible Christian Church. The first thing is this. The reason why I serve is I am created to serve. Did you know that you were created not to consume, but to serve? If you have your scriptures, go ahead and open them up to me. We're going to be going open them up with me. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this is the basis of what we do here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He says that we are put on this earth to serve, to help each other out. You see, everything on earth is designed for a purpose. Everything on earth is designed for a purpose. A dog, it does what a dog does. A cow, it's designed to do whatever cows do. I'm not a farmer, I don't know, but I know it's designed for a purpose. You and I are designed for a purpose to help each other out, to serve others. Everything in life was designed for a purpose. Now, if you're like me, you've spent the last couple of weeks, or maybe if our day was yesterday, we spent out in the lawn. Any of you guys work around your lawn recently? All this rain? My son said, "I know one thing that's not designed for a purpose, and that's these weeds." I'm like, huh, you got a little You know, maybe he's right. Maybe it's not designed for a purpose. But then, as our family was pulling weeds yesterday, I figured out the purpose for weeds. See, when you pull weeds, you know what you have to do? You have to get down on your hands and knees. You have to submit yourself to the ground. And basically, the purpose of weeds is to get us on our hands and knees before God and be thankful for it. And so, even weeds, I have found, have a purpose. All kidding aside, though, if we're not living this purpose, what begins to happen? What begins to happen to ourselves when we're not living a life doing what we were designed to do? And if I was created to serve and I'm not doing that, you know what happens? We begin to decay from the inside out. You see, there's only so much consumerism and materialism and things. And if you've ever tried to find your purpose in life by consuming, you know that there's not enough stuff in this world to make you happy. And you begin to corrode from the inside out. It reminds me of when I go to fetch a flashlight in the rare occurrence that I need it in my house. And so what do? I find a flashlight that's been in a drawer for who knows how long. And you go to flip it on, and what happens? Nothing. And then you say, oh, I'm going to have to change the batteries. And you fight to get that top off the flashlight. And you take those batteries out. What happened to those batteries? They're all corroded. Why? They weren't Duracell. Close. But they weren't, even the Duracells, I guarantee you, they weren't being used for their purpose. And because of that, they wasted away and they corroded and they were good for absolutely nothing. You know, I'm wondering if our life, if we're so busy consuming and so busy being served and looking for people to serve us, that we sort of corrode from the inside out. And we lose our purpose for life and we just sit there. I think that's a danger. And so that's why God says we are created to serve. Why do I serve? Why do I pour my heart and my life into other people? Why do I give sacrificially, even when it means that I'm going to be away from my family sometimes? When it means that I'm going to give up some recreation time to go do something and help somebody else? Why do I do all of that? Because that's why I was created. And there's always this constant tension in our lives that we have. Serve me or serve somebody else. And there has to be that balance. But I think sometimes it falls more into, I want to serve what I want and do what I want. And so we begin to corrode. And so why do I serve? Because I'm created that way. I'm designed that way. Well, there's another reason why we serve. And one of the things is that I'm saved to serve. Now, this may be, just hold on to this, and maybe a little confusing what I mean by this, but turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Says this, excuse me, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, or a holy work, maybe some of your translations say this. It says this, that we are saved and we are called for this holy work. Well, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by this holy work? Well, holy work means ministry. And ministry simply means service. And anytime you see the word servant in the Bible, you can equate that with the term minister. Someone who is ministering to the needs of others. Now, this word minister, we've done a disservice because that's what we've titled the guy that gets up and preaches on Sunday morning. And because of that, we've come up with this mindset that we think, oh, well, the minister is the one who's qualified to serve. And, well, I'm not qualified because I don't have the title of minister, so we'll let the church staff or those few people who we think could be a minister do all of the serving and sacrificing. I think that's their job, and my job is just to attend. The reality, though, is that if you are a believer, you are called a minister because you are called a servant of Christ. And when we realize that all of us, one, that we're designed, and then two, that we are saved to serve, that's the reason why God leaves us here on earth. You know, if God's purpose for us being here on earth was simply for us to be saved, basically, when I made that decision to follow Christ and I went up and was baptized in the baptistry, then we would just, poof, would go right to heaven because that would be the purpose. But we don't, do we? No. God has a purpose for us. And that's to be His instruments of grace and peace and love to this world. You know, I am very confident that if Jesus Christ wanted to, He could come down to earth and He could run the church. I'm very confident that He could. But He chooses not to. I'm also confident that even with Jesus running the church, there would still be people who wouldn't like what was going on in the church. But here's what we have. He leaves that to us. He says, I'm going to use you guys. You all, if you are a believer, are a minister of Christ. And I'm going to use you to do the work here on earth. See, I am saved to serve. When we look at that, sometimes I think we think, well, I just want to come to church and I just want to grow. And I think that's great. I think there's a lot of people that say, I want to grow in my faith. But let me ask you this. What is the purpose of growing in your faith? Why do you go to church? Why do you go to Bible study? Why do you participate in a small group or whatever it is you do? Is it for the sake of just yourself? See, it reminds me of something I learned a while back. Many of you know I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and there's something that happens every year in Columbus, Ohio. It's called the Arnold Health and Fitness Expo. Now, do you guys know which Arnold I'm talking about? Schwarzenegger, right? See, every year in Columbus, Ohio, since the 1970s, he's had a bodybuilding championship. Now, in the more recent years, it's more about health and fitness. But in those early years, in the early 1970s and the mid-1970s, it was all about one thing, building muscle for show. That's what it was. These bodybuilders would come into town. I was fortunate. My dad owned a printing company growing up. And his company did all the printing for the National Bodybuilding Championship. And so my dad, they printed the catalogs and the posters and the programs and all that kind of stuff. In the early days, Arnold Schwarzenegger would come into town, and he would go into my dad's office and work. Matter of fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been to my house when I was a kid. That's my claim to fame. I don't know if I want that claim to fame, but I've met Arnold in the flesh, and he's huge. And you guys know the picture. You know, they're, but here's the thing. They're talking. No, I'm not going to do that again. I did it first service. I did the poses first service and said I'm not going to do them second service. But I lied. I'm an idiot. Anyway, here's what's amazing, there's a point to this story. I promise. Here's what's amazing. These guys would build muscle and build muscle and build muscle. Why? For the sake of building muscle. They didn't use it for any practical application. See, I know a lot of strong guys. Some of you guys know Rob Ratliff, who's one of our leaders here. He's an elder, and he works down at the Stone Quarry, and Josh Cooksey, and there's a couple. These guys have huge arms and shoulders because they're slinging around stone all day. And they're carving that stone, and it requires a lot of muscle. That muscle has a practical application and purpose. It's there for a reason. But these bodybuilders, they would get all pumped up and buffed up, and sort of like Reed over here. But it doesn't serve a purpose. You see, I wonder if in church that we're more concerned about saving ourselves and building and pumping up our own spiritual muscle, but never taking it and putting it to use by serving others. You see, maturity in your faith is not an end in itself. I am so happy when I hear people say, I want to learn more about the Bible. I want to know more. I want to have more of the Bible and more of God into my life. And that's great. But if the purpose is simply just to build ourselves up, which we need, we're missing the mark of what it means to be saved and why we were created, which is to take what we have learned, to take that grace that God has given us, and turn around and serve others. You see, are we just pumping spiritual muscle here? Or are we putting it to use? Why do I serve others? One, because I'm created to. Why? Because I am saved to serve. Well, the third reason I serve others is because I am gifted to serve. I am gifted to serve. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And by the way, these are all great verses to memorize. And so I encourage you to highlight these in your Bible and commit those things to memory, because they'll come back. The Holy Spirit will help you recall these things when you need time, when times of need. And I love this passage here in 1 Peter, because I think it speaks directly to each one of us. We're all gifted differently. We all have different passions. Some of you guys are passionate about helping the poor and the needy, and that's the way that you're serving in our community. Some of you are passionate about missions and foreign missions, and that's one of my passions, and so you go out and you're involved with those things. Some of you guys are passionate about kids or children or the, you know, helping, you know, whatever ministry area it is, and you use those gifts and those passions that God has given you. But let's listen to this. It says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let me go back and sort of set the stage here, what was happening. Peter was writing this to Christians at the time who were under severe persecution. Some of their best friends and fellow believers were being murdered, and they were being put to death because of their faithfulness and because of their belief in Jesus Christ and their commitment to Him. And yet, all of these things, you know, Peter says this, even in the midst of this persecution, even in the midst that many of them had to leave their families, they were scattered out of their homeland, and they had to go to, they were in new areas, places they'd never been before, totally different cultures. And Peter says this, in the midst of all of this challenge, these challenging times, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I mean, that's a bold statement from Peter right there, isn't it? You see, I think a lot of us, we think, well, I want to wait until my circumstances are a little better before I start serving others. I want to wait until, I just don't have the time to serve others right now, but in a little while, I don't have the money to give, but, you know, I think I'm going to get some raises in the future, and so then I can start giving to God. Or, you know, well, when I get this situation figured out with my kids, or after they're done and after they're grown, then I'm going to serve. We all have all sorts of excuses why we can't serve. Sometimes we think, well, I've tried that before, and, you know, people just didn't appreciate me. Or I'm afraid, I don't know how to do it. What if I mess up? See, we're all waiting for this perfect environment for us to jump in and start serving and to look and put other people's needs above our own. But here in the midst of a terrible persecution where people were away from their families, there are new cultures, or a lot of different things are happening, Peter says this, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. It doesn't matter what circumstance you are in. You may be in the worst life circumstance right now, but God still wants to use you. You may be busier than busy. God still wants to use you. But what is that going to require? You know what it's going to require? Sacrifice. It's going to require putting somebody else's needs above my own. You know, some people say, well, my spouse serves a lot and I support my spouse, so therefore I don't have to do anything. Now, I think you should support your spouse who's very active in ministry. And I think you need to do that. But that's not all God calls you to do. There's other things that He calls you to do. There are many couples that I see serving faithfully side by side. And it's great to see a husband and a wife serving together. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And then listen to this, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Bottom line is, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, God has bestowed upon you an immeasurable amount of grace. Amen? And here's the thing. We're to be stewards, which means that we're to take what God gives us and we're to give it away. We're to give it away. He says, hey, take what you have and use it. Serve somebody. And he talks about in its various forms. We just talked about how all of us have different gifts and passions. But I'm going to give you sort of a couple of practical applications here for this, the way I'm gifted to serve. I heard a great testimony of a group of ladies who aren't from our church, but they're associated with our church. And one of the things they do on Fridays is they come over to our church building, and they have a playgroup for their kids, but then they go down to Hope's Closet and help organize and do some things down there. This is their way of serving. And this is, for us, great, because we want Hope's Closet to be bigger than just our church. We want to incorporate other people. And coincidentally, by a side note here, if you'll just indulge me for a second, we're going to have to change the name of Hope's Closet. See, apparently, there's an organization called Hope's Closet that has a copyright on their name. And they were browsing the websites and found that we were using that name and have very politely asked us to cease and desist through an attorney the use of the name Hope's Closet. So we're going to have to come up with something, Closet of Hope or ECC Outfitters or something. You know, we'll come up with something cool. And because we want to, you know, be good law-abiding citizens. But anyway, going back to the story, these ladies, they come together. And they go down there and they work in Hope's Closet. Well, it came to their attention this week that there was a grandma. I don't know how old she was, but she was a grandma. Enough said, right? And apparently she has a daughter who has five children. And one day the daughter comes to the grandma's house with her five children, knocks on the door and says, "Mom, I can't handle it anymore. I need you to take them." "For how long?" I'm leaving. I'm walking out. I'm done." And the mom walks away. And so here's this grandma who is now taking care of these five children with nothing but the clothes on their back. So one of the ladies found out and said, "This family needs clothes. They need a lot more than that, but here's something that we can do." So they went down to Hope's Closet. Unfortunately, we just had a huge giveaway at McCormick's Creek Elementary School, and so there wasn't a lot of clothing down there. So these ladies, you know what they did? They all went home. And they went through their closets. And they took clothes, some that was probably outdated, but some probably their kids were still using. Guess what? They were sacrificing their kids' clothing. And they collected it all and they brought it here to the church to give to this grandma who has now taken on an incredible amount of responsibility. You know, that's what it's all about when we talk about serving others. When we talk about seeing people and sacrificing ourselves to give to somebody else. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's a new homeless man that's been wandering around Ellettsville. You see a lot of it in Bloomington, especially there on the exits where you get off, but you don't see that too much just in Ellettsville. And this gentleman has actually come to the church a couple of times, and I just happened to be seeing him around wherever I go, and I saw him one time. I just sort of just drove by. Another time, I said, "You know what? I need to do more than just walk by this guy." So I was at the drive-through at McDonald's, and as I was coming through the drive-through at McDonald's, don't tell anybody, I noticed he was sitting on that bench that's right outside the McDonald's exit there, and he was just hanging out before they probably were going to kick him out. And I said, "Hey, I've seen you around." I said, "Can I, you know, I had some part of my meal." I said, "Hey, do you want this?" I just gave it to him. It was French fries or hash brown or something. I don't remember. And I drove off, and I didn't think anything of it. Well, I've seen him a couple other times. So I was at IGA last night for a few minutes, just picking up a couple things that we needed. And as I was going up to IGA, I saw him again. There he's on the steps. I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I'll go up and talk with him." So I went up to him. I said, "Hey, you know, I was the guy at McDonald's, and I've seen you at the church a couple of times. I said, is there anything you need?" He said, "Man, if you can find a sandwich and a pop, that would be great." Well, I went into the IGA, and I went back to where they have the hot food. I got some chicken and some mashed potatoes and green beans and a big old Gatorade. And I went out, and I gave it to him. And I started to walk away, and I thought, wait a second. Okay, I need to talk to this guy a little bit. And so it wasn't long, just a few minutes. And he tore into that food. He started eating it. And I just sat there. I said, "What's your name?" "My name is Deshaun." And he says, "You know, when I was a little kid, I went to your church." I thought, wow. He was looking at probably VBS or something like that. And I said, "Hey, can I get you hooked up with Backstreet Mission? That's a mission we work with homeless." And he declined. And And people like that are either homeless and destitute because of either drug abuse or mental mental incapacities. And I believe it's the latter here. I think he has some mental issues that I'm not a doctor, but anyway. And so I just talked with him. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to change his life necessarily. I'm not going to, you know, a meal is not going to change everything in his life to make it better. But you know what? I hope and I pray for 10 minutes he felt the love of God. I hope that I've maybe established some sort of, that, you know, we're not going to change the world by just being nice to people. But I tell you what, you can change a trajectory of someone's life by investing in their life. Now, I'm saying this not to toot my own horn, but to say that there are people all around us who have these needs that are incredible, that if we're not willing to sacrifice and take the time to notice people, then we're going to walk right by. See, I believe that we're going to leave here today, and many of us are going to go out with our families. We're going to go home, and you're going to celebrate with your mom or your brothers and sisters, and you're going to be in an environment where there's going to be somebody who has a tremendous spiritual or emotional need, or maybe even a physical need. Are you going to take the time to notice? Let me ask you, when we see Deshaun, what's our normal response? We turn our head and go the other way, don't we? Can you imagine? There's about 300 adults who are at worship today between the two services. Can you imagine if we all started to see him around town and we just said, hey, I just want you to know I'm going to pray for you and God loves you. I mean, I don't know if it can make a difference, but I do know that at that moment I was called by God to go talk to that man, look him in the eyes, shake his hand, and say, it's nice to know you, when the rest of the world has rejected him. You know, are we willing to serve? Are we willing to take the time to realize those around us? You know, and it's not just within the context of the church that we serve. I think it's great that we serve within the... There are many ways to serve. We have a great staff. We have a lot of different ministries going on. But if we think that, boy, I'm just going to serve at church and that's it, then we made service simply a program that we can check off our list. But I believe the type of service that God is talking about is the type of service that is a lifestyle. So whether you're within the walls of the church or outside of the walls of the church, you are looking for opportunities to invest and serve and speak into people's lives. And maybe providing just a hot meal on a day that's only going to be a temporary fix for a much larger problem. But it may mean that God is calling you to invest in the lives of your neighbors. Maybe that God is calling you to love your coworkers. You know, one of the things that we are about as a church is a loving God. And loving God is so important that we do that, and it's so important that we get our spiritual muscle. But the turn part of that is loving others and loving people. But if we're only loving God, then all we're doing is building muscle for the sake of building muscle. Hey, you are already saved the moment you got Jesus into your heart. The growth that happens afterwards, God's going to use that to minister to others. Many of you know that we have partnered with an organization called Q Place, which is about helping Christians be equipped to start conversations, spiritual conversations, ask questions, to notice people. And there's a conference that's coming up in October. Do we have the video, Roger? Yes? Yep. And I just want to show this quick video, and I just want you to pray to see if God, this might be something that God would want you to be a part of.
In today's world, people want to share, from experiences to ideas to pictures of their food. People want to share. So if we want to share the gospel, how can we relate to this culture in a way that people will receive the good news? In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul tells us, we were delighted to share not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Paul shows us that sharing the gospel is intrinsically linked to sharing our lives, and that doing so is a delight. So if people want to share their lives with us, we need to ask ourselves, are we noticing them? Listening to them? asking good questions? Are we welcoming them into our lives? These practices are not formulas, they're arts. Arts we need to cultivate if we want to engage others in conversations about Jesus. The Vital Conference can help your church engage. At Vital, you and your team will join a powerful dialogue with Christians from across the country. There we will explore the intersection of the gospel and our culture, and how we can relate to others through sharing our lives and talking about God in open and respectful conversations. Speakers Reggie McNeil, Andy Crouch, Scott West, Mary Schaller, and Mark Middleberg will lead us in this discussion. With QPlace, we'll learn together how we can transition from presentations to conversations, sharing our lives, and sharing the good news about Jesus. We hope to see you and your team at Vital 2013 in St. Charles, Illinois, October 3rd through 4th. To register and learn more about the conference, discounts, and scholarships, visit us at qplace.com/events.
Our goal and the goal of QPlace is to take ministry from being a simple program in the church to become a lifestyle that each one of us lives. You know, one more thing I want to share with you. A lady who goes to church here by the name of Bonnie takes some religious education classes at Indiana University. And Bonnie takes these classes and they teach about the Bible, but it's strictly from an academic standpoint. They're removing the spiritual aspect to it and taking students through and saying, this is what the Bible says and this is what it's about. And it does a good job of those things. But one of the neat things that Bonnie does in her unique way is that she has formed a relationship with some of these students. And after that, they learn the academics, she's able to sit down with some of these students and say, let me tell you about the spiritual aspect of it. And she's changing people's lives. She's not, the Holy Spirit is, but God is using her to change people's lives. God wants to use each one of us. And yet, I think for so many of us, we're sitting on the sidelines expecting the minister or other people to do it. And he's called us all into the game of full court press because Satan wants to seek and destroy what is good. And so he says, I want you to serve. Why do I serve others? Because I'm created to serve. I'm saved to serve. I'm gifted to serve. And then finally today, I am fulfilled when I serve. I am fulfilled when I serve. You see, everybody I know, or a lot of people, what we're trying to do is people are trying to live longer. Have you seen that? Live a longer life. All the commercials. I mean, there's books to tell you how to live a longer life. I think that's good. I think we need to be aware of how we can live a longer life. But what I think we ought to do is take the same amount of effort that people put into living a longer life and put it into living a fuller life. A life with purpose and a life with meaning. And see, that's what serving does. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58, and listen to what it says there. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Listen to this. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. What do we say the work of the Lord is? That's ministry. That's service. Give yourselves fully, because listen to this. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me rephrase that. Because you know it brings purpose to your existence when you do this. This is what it's all about. See, I am fulfilled when I serve. Doesn't it feel good when somebody serves you? Have you ever been, someone helped you out, do something for you that they didn't have to do? I think it's wonderful. I love pouring my life into this community, into this church. And my wife and I, we faithfully serve. And there's a lot of times where I'm here late or we're here on a weeknight. And some of you can say the same thing. And there's many times when we serve. But you want to know one of the great blessings about being a minister here? Is that you serve us as well. And it's a wonderful feeling that gives me a fullness in life when I serve, but also when others serve me. About 2 years ago, there was an opportunity that Sarah and I, we had to move into a new house. And it just so happened that our moving date coordinated with the date that I was going to be gone, actually at a Q Place conference. And we didn't plan it that way, but that's how the dates worked out. And I remember we were going to have to move, and my wife was home, and I was gone all weekend. And we were going to have to go to church on Sunday morning after being at this conference all weekend. And then we were going to have to move my house, all that stuff, on Saturday afternoon so we could be out by the Monday that the landlords of the old house were going to take possession of it back. And so I remember being stressed about it this whole conference. I'm like, how am I going to do all of this? And so we went to the conference, and as we were coming home from the conference, I get a call from a friend of ours, Greg and Angie Chastain, and they said, hey, we're going to meet you guys for dinner. I said, great. He says, meet me over at your new house. I'm like, what, are we going to eat on the floor? You know, what's going on here? I said, fine. So we went over to the new house, and unbeknownst to me, Greg and several others got together while I was gone, and they packed up my house, and they moved it all over for me. You know, that's a moment I will never forget. Some of you were a part of that. I'm just so, to this day, I'm very thankful. But see, I had purpose and I had meaning, and it made my connection to Ellisville Christian Church even that much stronger. See, when we serve, it's not in vain. It has purpose. So my question for you today is this. Are you just flexing spiritual muscle for the sake of flexing spiritual muscle? Or are you being fulfilled when you sacrifice to serve others? Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your word and the way that you use us to serve others and to be your instruments of peace and grace and love on this earth. And Lord, as we even leave here today, it is my prayer that we would see ways that we can serve others, that we can be your instrument of grace and peace. Father, we give you this time and we give you our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the best ways I think that you can really begin to serve is to ask Jesus into your heart. To say, Father, I'm ready to serve you. And the way I'm going to do that is first giving you my life. And so we have this time of invitation. If you have never made that decision in your life to follow him, we invite you to come forward at our invitation time and do that. Or if you're looking for a church home, a place where you can be challenged, and a place that isn't perfect, but a place that is going to love God and love people, we want to welcome you to be a part of this church family. Or maybe today you need prayer. Maybe this Mother's Day is difficult and you're going through a tough time. We want to invite you and come forward and meet me up front here, and I'll talk with you and pray with you through the decisions that you need to make today. Would you stand as the praise team leads us, and come forward if you have a decision to make today.
You did.